One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome back to the show. You know, I want to do one of those podcasts where we just, you know, start talking. I always have to
Where they have the intro? I hate that. I hate when they do that.
I feel like, you know, every week I have to be like a morning zoo radio host. That's like, whoa, degenerate podcast. Pew, 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 pew. We're here with Bobby and Dave.
Spare no, woo. Effects. No expense on the sound effects.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, look at that. Moo. Oh, how'd that thing get in here? All right, degenerate podcast. Crazy. I want to just do an intro and that's post-recorded, and then we just start like midway through our conversation.
Yeah, we should not, no intro at all. We just should start in the middle of a conversation so our listeners are like, whoa, did I miss something?
What happened? we'll do throwbacks or callbacks to shit that was before the mics got turned on.
Right. We should anyway. Just mid-sentence too. Like, yeah, it just comes on mid-sentence.
Yes, exactly.
Well, this was an experiment. I'll see how this sounds when I listen to it on Tuesday. Anyways, I'm Ryan. That's Dave and Bobby. We are in
Woo!
The garage. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Woo!
The sound effects. You sound like a knockoff Ric Flair.
Well, I don't know what that was, but
that was a dying sea animal. Anyway,
put that back in a bag of tricks and keep it there.
So, guys, I've never really talked to you about this very much. I know we're all MMA fans here.
Uh-huh.
What sports are you guys fans of outside of MMA? Anything?
Football.
You do like football?
Yes.
Okay. Like, you watch it every Sunday,
yes.
Every Monday?
Yes.
Dave, anything else besides?
I got the NFL Red Zone.
Hockey.
Hockey.
Yes.
Casually or like fucking die hard?
I used to be way into hockey. I knew because from Detroit, we had a great team.
Yeah.
So I used to know all the players' names and numbers. I used to know like other players on other teams, whatever. I used to know all the shit. I found that past decade or so, I've kind of cared less. But it's still a sport I enjoy watching.
Hey, can I ask you a question? I asked this to my friends who like hockey that we visited on the East Coast. They're really into hockey. And there's hockey fights, right? It's like technically illegal, but they fight and they let them
illegal,
fight.
It's frowned upon.
I mean, you're breaking
it's
the
like
rules,
drinking
right?
In church.
No, the way fighting works in hockey, Bobby, is that if you get into it, it's got to be one-on-one, okay?
Yeah, okay.
And it goes, you have to discard your stick and helmet.
Okay.
And it goes until you go down. You can't just like go down. Once it's down, once you go down on the ice, it's broken up.
But it's,
they have to go into a penalty box,
right? So technically they're doing some kind of penalty. It's not in the rules that you're allowed to fight, right? It says you're not allowed to fight in some
correct.
Kind of way.
It's like being hit by a pitch. Does that make sense?
But that's, you can say that's unintentional. A fight's not unintentional.
Oftentimes it's not. But anyways.
Well, you watch football. It's like spearing.
But
tackling with your helmet.
Spearing's illegal.
Right, but people do it.
Okay, so it is illegal is what I'm getting at. This activity is illegal.
Yeah. What are you, the hockey police?
No, I'm saying, if you're long as you're doing it, how come nobody kicks? I mean, you got blades
you
on your feet.
Have you ever skate?
You know how heavy that padding and equipment on the legs is?
I'm just saying, Jesus. If you can get a good one behind the calf, you're going to do a lot more damage than one of your stupid punches while you're on ice.
All right,
ice.
Bobby, you and I are going to go down to the ice skating ring. We're going to go full hot gear, and we're going to fight.
No, I don't want to get kicked
only.
And skate.
I will let you get your first kick off.
All right, I'm just saying, I think you can do a lot more damage with a kick. I don't know why they don't kick.
Well, we're going to, of course.
One front kick could really end this game.
Bobby, pipe down.
Okay.
The reason I brought it up, and you know what? Good segue with the fighting is baseball season is upon us.
Oh, yeah.
The Padres is, I think, the last professional team this city has.
Yeah.
The thing is, every year, I grew up in a town without any professional sports team. I grew up in Orange County. There's not one professional sports team.
You got the Anaheim Ducks, actually.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I forgot about that. And so did everyone else. the fighting that goes on previously at Charger games, and now even more so that we don't have the Chargers at baseball games.
Oh, you're talking about in the stands. You're not talking
in
about
the
players.
Oh, no, in the stands. Yeah. In the stands. Between guys that are fucking, home team supporters and dudes who stupidly show up in the opposing team's jersey. I've never understood it. All I see is middle-aged fat dudes who are heavily balding, drink too much Coors Light, and sweat it out as they punch someone for coming to see a ball game.
You know, it's like Coors Light is going to drop us as a sponsor if you keep up that talk, all right?
It's like the dad version of a gang fight. They're like, he's wearing the wrong colors. Get him.
I think that has a little something to do with it. All these fat middle-aged dudes are pretending they're in the Warriors, the movie. They're just like, yeah, this is my one chance to feel what it's like.
Hey, the baseball fears are nothing to fuck with, dude.
Evidently not. What do you think the mentality is, Bobby? Is it just alcohol, or do you think it's like, I don't know, I'm not satisfied with my life, so I'm going to start some shit at the Padre game?
Put an idea out here, and this may or may not be true. If you notice, I've been to quite a few live MMA events. I've never seen a fight. That just does not seem to happen. I have seen some at the very few baseball games that I've unfortunately attended. I have seen a few physical altercations. Maybe that's the size of the baseball games, but again, Padres don't draw a lot of people, so probably not. I honestly think you're just bored as shit because you're watching baseball. Like, it's a boring ass thing. I don't understand. When I see entire stadiums full of people watching baseball, it's like if I were to just see a stadium of people standing on their hands for no reason. I'm like, why are you doing what you're doing? You're
That's
paying money to do it.
That's kind of impressive, actually. I'd watch that soon.
Yeah, but why? You're right. To me, it's impressive that they're sitting and watching this boring ass thing for 4 hours staring straight ahead. Maybe everybody just gets frustrated sitting around not doing anything and they scrap.
But, dude, it happened all the time at Qualcomm Stadium when the Chargers were here. All the
That's
time.
That's true.
I'd feel like every time there was a home game, there'd be at least one news article like huge brawl erupts in the stands. Obviously, the Chiefs.
Yeah,
seats.
And there would, it would always be when certain teams were
the
in
Raiders.
Town. The Raiders, all
right.
Were the big one, right?
So, all right, now, I'm just trying to understand a certain person's mentality. Okay, now with a gang mentality, I understand. Like, we're in this gang. That gang kills people in our gang. I'm seeing one alone by himself. This is my chance. Blah blah blah. It's retarded, but it's at least I can follow that juvenile right. train of thought. The train of thought, no matter how juvenile, like, and that's the thing. When a little kid does something, you can at least see where his train of thought went. Like, all right, I see why this little kid did. But to go to a game. And then be like, oh, fuck this other team for showing up. Oh, what I was hoping for was to show up to Qualcomm Stadium, have the Chargers walk out, have no one to play, and go, forfeit, we win.
Easy
yeah!
win.
Yeah!
And then, by the way, the coach would probably point at me in the stands and go, you're the new QB. Come on down.
Right. So first of all, they seem pissed off the other team is even there to do their job, okay? So that's number one. Number two, they're upset that anyone came to see them, that anyone else would support this other team doing their job. And it ceases to be like, oh, man, this is a little fun thing. The person I want to win is against the person you want to win. We do that all the time in my living room, Bobby.
Yeah.
What escalates it to? He's wearing a jersey.
Okay.
No, hurt him so that he has to be spoon-fed by his wife the rest of his life. I want him shitting in diapers because I'm going to hit him in the back of the skull when he's at the urinal like a bitch coward.
It's one of two things. One, I think, obviously, you've already touched on the main one, alcohol.
Alcohol.
Right? Once you get booze involved, we've seen dudes at bars start fights over what color the lighting is, you know, inside a place. It's you get
Listen,
alcohol.
That lighting was not flattering to me at all.
I know,
David.
I'm tired.
That was bullshit.
You sucker punched the shit out of me on that one. But that's one thing that you just have to put into play is alcohol. The second one, you always have to account for the bell curve, right? So everybody that exists is on this bell curve for everything, for intelligence, for personality, for everything. You follow the human population follows this curve. And most people are right there in the middle. They're not too aggravated. They're not too nice. They're just right there in the middle. You always have to account for the fact that statistically, you're going to have 2-point-some-odd% that are 3 Z-scores or standard deviations away from the center that are just the aggro dudes.
You're losing me and half our listeners.
Just account for dumb people. Like, you got to imagine.
Okay, say that. Then say that.
The bottom 2% of intelligence mixed with the top 2% of aggro kind of guys with too much testosterone, when those overlap, we've all seen that guy. We've seen him at bars.
Wait, now you're doing a Venn diagram?
We've seen him at bars. We've seen him at parties. That dude who's looking for a fight,
okay.
Right?
He's I understand. I was that asshole for about 5 years.
It's not that some guy really pissed him off when he spilled his drink. That guy was happy when that dude spilled his drink because that was his excuse.
Right.
I think a lot of those dudes are the same way. It might not be that guy gives a shit. He probably can't even name the starting lineup of the Chargers, but that other guy's wearing the Raiders jersey, so he's going to throw a punch.
You know what? The bell curve is responsible for so much shitty behavior. We should just do away with it. Can we get rid of the bell curve? I mean, it's the root of so many problems.
We'll just bump everybody up to the 99th percentile. Then that won't make any sense.
I'm down.
We'll all technically be at zero.
All right. Well, that does make sense to me because I think that we've all been the, not all been, but at least encountered the dude that you can tell wants to go.
Yeah. Oh, it happens all the time. And you can tell it from afar, especially if you're keyed in. One of the things I've noticed, I don't know if you've noticed this, Ryan, now that I've grown up, now that I'm a 30-some-odd-year-old man, I used to be a young buck.
He doesn't know how old he is.
Yeah. Now, I used to be a young buck. You'd be out with your buddies. You'd see that guy. You'd be like, hey, bros, we might have to do something about this, right? Now that I'm a 30-some-odd-year-old guy, I can spot that guy from a mile away. I'll be with my wife at a bar or something, and you'll see that dude before he even walks in the bar. You can tell that vibe. You saw it so much in your 20s, you know it. I feel like it's almost a wizard sense when it comes to women, because my wife doesn't see it. Like, if we are someplace, I'm like, we got to get out of here. This dude's about to blow. She has no clue. She's, what are you talking about? He seems like he's having fun. Like, no, you see how he's bumping shoulders with people intentionally as he walks through?
Right.
You see how he's looking at everything like it's a piece of meat as opposed to a human being?
Right.
Like, this guy is waiting for something to happen. I feel like we have that radar because we lived a life where that guy might have punched us at any given time.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas, honey, grab my stink bombs. I'll take care of this.
Whereas women probably didn't get sucker punched as much by crazy guys at bars, and they don't have that radar.
The radar they had to look out with, they never had to
worry. They have the creepy guy radar.
Right. They have to look out. They're looking out for that guy, but I think for a different reason, because just as he's looking at us like a potential punching bag, he's also looking at her like she's a snack.
Yeah, of them are, but I'm thinking of more the guy who's just single-mindedly, I'm going to fight tonight. My goal.
I think they're one and the same.
They can be.
In my experience, the guy that wants to fight is because he hasn't been laid in quite some time. Maybe because of this behavior, maybe it's just a vicious cycle. But
I always just thought it was because he had a horrible upbringing.
I love that you're both outing the horrible people that you yourselves were back in your 20s.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
No,
Ryan's like, no, I was this guy. Bobby's like, no, I was this guy.
No.
I was the creep.
Yeah, Bobby was the creep, and I was the guy looking to fight for someone for no reason. No.
I was hanging outside every Lane Bryant, picking up on everybody over $180 that came out.
Luckily, when I was 24 is when I cut the shit of, like, I'm going out to fight tonight. It was, like, I remember the last time I ever thought that. I was sitting at a metal bar at Ocean Beach called Dream Street. It's not even there anymore because people like me would show up. And then they're like, we need to close this. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to fucking fight. And I'm like, what am I doing? I'm sitting here by myself drinking vodka and saying, I hope I get to get into a physical alter. I'm going home.
I could be watching baseball while I do this. Come on.
I was never that guy. I was always, because I was too busy trying to keep my buddies who were that guy from flipping out. And eventually I got mature enough. My maturity wasn't growing out of wanting to fight people. It was growing out of hanging out with the guy who wanted to fight people.
Yes. Now, I had friends that brought this very unappealing trait with them well into the late 20s and even early 30s, and I had to get rid of them. And they were always invariably the guy that the next day he was attacked.
Yeah.
For no reason. We've talked about that before. For no reason, this guy was just being a dick. And I'd always have to say, what would he tell me if I talked to him?
He was wearing a Raiders jersey.
Now, speaking of getting into altercations, we've talked about this before. Comedians getting attacked on stage. Comedy clubs notoriously cheapskates and won't pay for... What they'll do, just as a refresher for any new listeners, is in a comedy club... You're not safe. You know why? Because if there's anyone, and by the way, not from the comics. The comics are all neckbeard having overweight dorks, present company excluded, of course. But they're all dorks. However, if there's anyone unruly in the audience, maybe some guy just got out of jail.
Yes, those are the worst.
Our good friend Brian Simpson just posted something about that. He just encountered one of these guys, like, just got out of jail. If anyone makes a joke at him, he's got the prison pride still.
Right.
What the fuck did you say to me? So, who they have for security, who they don't need to pay anything extra to, is just a comic that happens to be on shift that night that wants stage time and will watch the door for free. And they give him a shirt that says security, but it's an overweight kid with diabetes. Right. And he's just like, I'll check tickets. Then I can do my 8 minutes about Tinder.
Dude, this is so common. I had a bit about this last night. Last night, as you guys know, I did my Star Wars show. I actually had a bit.
I didn't hear about that. What was that?
I had a bit where I was like, you know, sometimes comedians get attacked on stage if you piss somebody off by talking about a topic that they really love, but I don't have to worry about that because you're all Star Wars fans.
Yeah, yeah. No. So we've all seen or been party to or a situation where a male comic is on stage. Mm-hmm. He pisses someone off. They attack them, and there's no security to handle it because the club didn't fucking hire any.
Right.
It's a tale as old as comedy. So a good friend of mine, I think you guys know her, Jill Kimmel, she's a comic out of Phoenix. She was on stage. I think the place was called Laughs, this comedy club somewhere in Arizona. And she's a female. Another female gets up and starts heckling her aggressively. Now, I have a few friends that were at that club tonight. By all accounts, this lady was shouting throughout the show, just pure drunk, and looking for a reason. She was the female looking for a reason.
Female looking for the fight. Oh, my God, it's the unicorn we never got to see.
It's a unicorn. So, anyways.
Did she say a specific joke that tipped her off?
I will tell you what she said, because Jill's a friend of mine. I asked her personally, like, what did you say? Because this is another one of those moments, you know, like the friend that's always getting a bar fight. It's like, all right, what would she tell me? You know,
right, because every once in a while, somebody will do something. Like, I once saw something where a guy told an abortion joke, and a woman stood up in the middle of the set and said, like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I had abortion, and got super mad and stormed out. And we were all like, well, that's inappropriate, but we understand where she was coming from.
Right.
That was an emotional spot.
Right. And there's also comics that think that they're invincible. You know, a few around town that think they can pick on the toughest guy and be like, hey, I have a microphone. I'm on stage. He can't possibly do anything to me. Hey, idiot, what are you doing over there? Fag, you know, and then ultimately rush the stage like, hey, this is art. This is my art. Don't touch me.
We need to teach a self-defense class to comics where they use the mic stand, because that's a real good weapon, is that mic stand.
Right.
It's too quickly abandoned.
Or you have the high ground, front snap.
Yeah, front snap, front kick. Front kick is really good there.
Anyway, I know what she said. Her joke was, and I'm paraphrasing, I want to butcher it, was like, you know how when you don't like something, nothing they do is good, you just don't like them? And her example was, hey, look at that asshole over there curing cancer, all right?
Uh-huh.
Again, I butchered it. But this woman then stands up, hey, I know someone with cancer!
Okay.
So, completely in the wrong, you know? So,
I think she was so drunk, she meant to say she did cure cancer. She's the asshole that cured cancer.
So, she advances on the stage. This person has already been disruptive. Jill says something to the effect of, shut the fuck up. The person throws a full drink in her face from the audience.
That's good accuracy.
Full, and it made her hair fly back. It
was like the Maxwell commercials from the 90s.
Yeah, it was like a Maxwell, only instead of sound, it was a gin and tonic. And then Jill front snap kicks her.
Really?
Well, it wasn't a legit kick. It was just a kick.
Wait a second. Hold on. Where is this woman in relation to her? Like, she threw it from the audience and she's running up to her? Is that how it's working?
Okay. Audience, one sec. I'm going to show Bobby the video. Oh, there's a video. All right, so here's the video. She's on stage. This drunk bitch is doing that little condescending wave she does. Like, she knows what she's doing.
My favorite part is she's yelling at her, get your manager. Like, she clearly doesn't understand how comedians work. Like, she just thinks, like, comedians show up like waiters. Like, I'm here for my comedianship. Nine to five as a comedian.
I thought she meant like an entertainment manager, like Jimmy the Mouth the Heart from WWF back in the day. So run out with a megaphone. Like, oh, beautiful, baby, beautiful. So, all right, so... all right, right here. She's calling her a bitch.
She's walked up to the edge of the stage, basically.
Yeah, she's at the edge of the
stage.
She
looks like she's about 4 or 5 feet away. She's pretty close.
Yeah, she's pretty close. And Jill's basically saying, get this fucking bitch out of here, which is the appropriate response.
Looks like a couple of people standing around, not intervening yet.
Yeah.
Right. No one is doing shit.
But they're standing.
Because there's no security.
Yeah.
And then there goes the drink. Jill runs and she just gives her. It wasn't a front snap; it was a kick.
Yeah.
It was a. You know what? You get a drink in your face, you get to throw a little kick like that.
Yep.
For it. She runs up. Okay, now the heckler has her arm around Jill's head and is grabbing onto her hair, which is a bounty of hair, by the way. She has a mane.
That was a surprising speed from getting kicked to being on stage. Yeah. For that heckler.
Right. Now we got a bunch of dork comics that are basically just going. Pat, shoulder.
Are you sure they're comics and not just audience
maybe
members?
Maybe some are audience, but definitely no one is
taking charge of this situation.
No, I'm seeing a lot of light pats to the heckler, who, by the way, has punched Jill in the mouth now, and I saw the injury on her lip. She had, like, two different abrasions and a bruise all on her lip. She has grabbed onto her hair, and even with that, these people are lightly patting her on the shoulder, going, hey, stop. Hey, please stop now. Bobby.
But you can kind of understand why, because as a dude...
That's what I wanted to ask you. Now, both of us have martial arts experience.
Right.
Both of us have fighting experience. So I want...
Both of us be women.
Dave, pipe down! Leave the garage! So what I want to know from you, because I thought about this, because I went right into, ever, like I said, Everyone makes themselves the hero in their hypothetical scenario.
I would have done this.
Yes, I would have done this. I would have done that. And I was no different. And I caught myself. I said, oh, man, if my friend got attacked on stage like that, I would have been, she's a chick.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Go swinging?
And I'm a straight white male in this climate.
And by the way, who knows when that, you know, that cell phone video starts a different time with you jumping some chick from behind. That's a very different story.
Even if all I've done is pulled her off of Jill and I have my arms wrapped around and clasped in like a suplex thing.
Yeah.
Someone turns on their phone. It just looks like I'm grabbing a girl's boobs who's yelling for me to stop.
It is. So that's a shitty situation to be in too, because they're pretty serious about fighting. Like those girls weren't being like, hey, I kind of like her. Like the one that rushed the stage, she wanted to fight. So
she drew first blood.
If you saw her and that's your friend being attacked, that's this thing that's got to be so hard to watch of like, oh my God, that's my friend. I desperately need to save her. And then, can I? Am I allowed to?
I mean, because if it's a dude on chick, you could curb stomp him.
Yeah, yeah. And if it's a guy attacking one of your dude friends, you could obviously jump up and help him. But all of a sudden, the rules get really hazy, even if there's a big size difference between the girls.
And you know what? Even if it's a girl attacking a guy, it's like, oh, he should be able to handle himself. If he doesn't, we're going to make fun of him.
Right.
But girl on girl, she got fucking blindsided, but there's someone rushed the stage. You don't know what to do. And she grabs her fucking hair and hit her once, and now she won't let go. She had like a fucking kung fu grip on her hair.
And that's the other thing you have to put into account that we don't even think about, which is in a female-on-female fight, you grab the hair, you essentially have the Muay Thai clinch. You've got the plum of the head wherever that ponytail is.
Right.
And that's a huge advantage. So if somebody grabs your hair and you're a girl in a fight and they grab a long thing of hair, they can control your head and deliver much stronger blows. They can hurt you much more because they can control the speed and direction of your face.
And every girlfriend I've ever had, I've always like started off the relationship with this. Like second date, I tell them this. I'm like, hey, if you end up a girl fight, they're going to immediately grab your hair. They're not going to know to clench their elbows, go up the middle with uppercuts. up the middle. They will let go of that hair. And you know what? They've all listened to me. And they've all won their girlfriend since dating me. Anyway, so
yeah, that's a hard one.
So Bobby, to the best of your knowledge, without being like I described, a self-serving Superman. I like that term.
Yeah.
Write that down, Dave. Without being the hypothetical hero, what do you think you would have done? You see your female comic friend on stage attacked by someone who's very clearly in the wrong and drunk. What do you do?
The only thing that I could think of is what I used last time that I happened to be with some buddies and my dude buddy got attacked by a larger guy. And again, I'm a pacifist, so I try not to just randomly punch people. And this guy randomly punched my buddy.
What was this?
This was in PB a few years back, so my old college buddies were in town. My buddy was
here we go, in PB, and the guy punched him for no reason.
Oh, no reason!
Trust
me. My buddy didn't deserve to be punched, but he was acting like a fuck-ass. So, like, he screw him, but he didn't deserve to sucker punch.
Explain.
Oh, he had a hot, he was eating a hot dog. The wrapper of his hot dog fell off. We happened to be right at the curbside, right in front of Sinbad's. And the wrapper of his hot dog fell off and fell on the hood of this guy's car. And the guy was like, hey, you fucking just threw trash on my car. And what my buddy should have said is, you're right, that was an accident. It was an accident. It fell. I'm sorry.
But he went, fuck you.
What he said is, fuck you. Now, granted, accidentally having a wrapper of your food fall on somebody's car, which is right next to the sidewalk, is not a punch-worthy offense. Also, my buddy shouldn't have said fuck you, so there's some fault all around.
I think punch-worthy is... Yeah, no, you know what? I'm siding with the guy in the car.
and the other guy, and the guy was way bigger than him. Way bigger. The guy was like 6'4". So,
your friend got some well-deserved lessons.
But he punched him, and I threw him in a head and arm triangle. So a standing head and arm triangle, which is a good move for a situation like this because...
All right, for those of you who don't know, standing head and arm triangle is when you get one of the arms locked, both your hands around the neck and arm... Essentially using your opponent's arm and the pressure from both of yours to strangle him.
Yeah, think of like...
If you're doing it well, you should have your head in there as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you grab your own bicep and you're able to exert a force that from a standing position is really hard to submit somebody, but it incapacitates them because they can't move very well and it's very hard for them to breathe. So in the case for this guy, he was trying to punch my buddy, knocked him down with one shot, and then was trying to kick him while he was on the ground. I was able to stop that, and then I held him there for 7 minutes waiting for cops to come in the middle of PB. on a Saturday with 1,000 people walking by. Which is especially funny because
did the cops arrest this guy?
Well, so here's what's funny. In PB, there's cops every 10 feet.
Oh, yeah.
I thought when I put this
because of shit like this.
When I threw this standing arm triangle on, I threw it on and I went, okay, we're in PB. There's cops every 10 feet. The good news is I only have to hold this monster of a 6'4" dude for like, I don't know, 10, 20 seconds before a cop comes running up. 7 minutes, 1,000 people on a Saturday night walking by, just walking by us as
I... This is very low on the list of priorities for Saturday night in PB for cops.
Well, what's funny is when the cops, I'll just detour this real quick. When the cops did show up, they came, they see me holding this guy and they're like, what's going on? I'm like, please come here, help me. He just knocked my buddy out. My buddy's...
Is your friend cold out?
He was cold out. This is 7 minutes later. So obviously, you know, you don't stay knocked out for that long. My other buddies had picked him up, gotten him into a cab and had taken him home at this point. So now I'm just holding this guy in a weird submission
lock. By yourself?
In front of a bar. And I called the cops.
So no one to corroborate your story.
Yes, no one to corroborate my story.
Oh, that's no good either.
So the cops come up. They're like, what's going on? And I try to explain to him. Like, he knocked the guy.
I'm telling you, Andy, there's a fighting in PB.
And I was like, he knocked my buddy out. And I lied. I knew they took my buddy home. And I was like, they had to take him to the hospital. But they knocked him out. And he's like, all right, did anyone see it? And I was like, well, I mean, I saw it. And he's like, but you're the one holding this guy. Did anyone see it? And he's like, no. And he goes, well, how am I can't take him. I can't arrest this guy because I came and you were wrestling him and you told me he did something. I was like, all right, fair enough. Kudos to you, officer. So the officer walks right over to the guy who's drunk, obviously, and he goes...
So you let him go and the cop showed up?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then he walks right over to the guy who was drunk, and he goes, so why don't you tell me what happened? He goes, he said, fuck you, and I just had to hit him. And he goes, all right, turn around, put your hands on your
back. Oh,
it was fantastic.
Fucking hilarious. I was trying to drive my car drunk, and then some guy said something mean, so I punched him.
Yeah, so yeah, then we came back because he was obviously got carted off to jail, so he left his car there. So we left a bunch of feces on his car. So anyway.
Human or dog?
Human, because, I mean, like, he needed to come back and realize there were consequences for... Anyway.
He was in jail. He didn't fucking pat the bill for
it. They don't. They just drive him around for a bit. They're not gone for that long. It was PB. They're not going to have
Jesus. No, he spent the night.
They could release him in Mission Beach and have him walk his way back.
Regardless, it was.
We're going to ask Anita, fella.
It was the punishment fitting the crime because the rapper started the whole thing on the car anyway. Hey, long story short, so that would be one move. Would be the head and arm triangle.
We're back on course.
Yeah.
Female friend of yours on stage gets attacked by a drunk person in the wrong. You go over the head and arm triangle.
Because you can exert enough force, enough of a choking pressure if you really try, that she has to let go. But it's not like a rear naked choke where you're going to put them unconscious from a standing position.
Okay. Okay.
And so it also is not something unlike a rear naked choke where in the position, and it's hard to describe if you're not, you guys should go check out Ryan's page and watch this video. It would be hard to get an arm in there.
And by the way, Bobby has made a good point. I am going to share this video the day that this episode airs. So you're going to see this week on the Degenerate Podcast on my Facebook, and then I'll share the video of this happening so you can see for yourself.
Now, there's some stuff that you can do that I would feel kind of weird about doing, but you could do if that hadn't worked or you couldn't get into that position. One is you can use some wrist techniques or some finger techniques. It's very hard for somebody to fight you when they're pulling.
Like small joint manipulation?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, I'm just laughing at finger techniques.
Yeah.
I'm probably talking about her on stage.
There's a reason they're banned in mixed martial arts, which is they're incredibly effective and they're very
small
easy.
Small joint manipulation. Yeah,
yeah. They're very easy to do damage with that. Also, it's very hard for somebody to fight your entire body force or your entire force of your arm and hand with just one finger. So if they're grabbing onto your friend, that's one way to get them off. That kind of stuff would work. There's a pressure point right behind the jaw that's very effective in getting people to at least try and get your hand off their face because it's very, very painful. But in reality, we could sit here and say this is what we'd do. In the heat of the moment, man, the decision to fight a woman in public on a stage in front of people is something you better be fucking sure about, even if you're in the right.
Right. What I would go with, I've thought about this long and hard, a female on female fight, and my friend's getting attacked. Mm-hmm. I'm going with ankle pick. I'm going up. Okay. I am going to grab the heel. I'm going
from behind.
Or otherwise. She's not paying attention to me either way. She's in an altercation with my friend who she's assaulting. I'm grabbing right behind the heel.
Yep.
I'm going to scoop it up and lift it above her head, and she's going to fall down. Now, she is going to fall down with my friend's
hair. Right, because she's got her hair. Yeah.
But now she is on the ground, and she is on the bottom.
Yeah.
And now I am free with her not being able to move and my friend on top of her, to use small joint manipulation to peel her hands off my friend's hair using the fingers, peeling those fingers, like you said, very effective. Yeah. And then we can lift my friend up and hold her till the cops get there.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Better than Bobby. Thank you.
Right, well, I'm saying if I was there, I mean, this bitch already threw a drink and is going for the hair. The rules are off. I'm going to grab a handful of her hair and pull her head back as hard as I can.
I think Dave might win, actually.
That's pretty good.
I'll tell you what. I had a situation that was somewhat similar. It's a little bit different because it wasn't a woman, but it has always bothered me. It's been one of these things that always bothered me. This was back in college. Again, I was in a fraternity, and I get the fraternity reputation. You have to understand that the vast majority of the people in this fraternity weren't white dudes and had zero money. But we are having a big party, and...
Well, yeah.
And the way it works there is it is your legal responsibility to make sure there's not shithoused, passed out people there. In fact, when the cops come through, which they eventually will, if there's somebody passed out in your front room, you are in fucking trouble. It's a big deal. Like if the cops come
in a fraternity, if someone's passed out, you can get
kicked out off campus. If they come in and they find
out, can you be expelled?
The fraternity can get kicked off campus.
Oh, okay.
So it is a big deal. And so you have to kind of monitor to make sure, yes, of course, everybody's going to get drunk and everybody's going to have fun. You can't have shit-housed people, at least ones you don't know, downstairs. If they're upstairs in their rooms or doing their own stuff, fine. You can't have them downstairs in the main floor. So anyway, we have guys watching the doors, making sure people are good coming in. My buddy Ali, a Middle Eastern dude, is watching the door. This wasted guy, 6'3", 6'4", black guy, comes up, just shithoused. I'm watching this because I'm on the porch. He comes walking by, walks up to my buddy, and my buddy's like, no, sorry, man, you can't come in, you're too drunk. And the guy's like, what? And he's like, you're too drunk. And then as he's closing the door, the guy just puts one hand in, puts his foot in, pushes this small guy out of the way, and just starts pushing his way in. And Ali starts yelling, I'm on the porch. I just come real quick, grab the guy exactly like you said, grab him around the waist, pick him up off the ground, because it's very hard for somebody to hurt you if you have them from behind up off the ground. And I'm not hitting him. I don't do it. I pick him up off the ground, walk him 3 feet over, and set him down on the porch facing the other direction.
Yes, I remember that serving the last time you told me.
He's so drunk that he turns to try and start swinging on me, but he doesn't turn 180 degrees. He only turns 90 degrees, starts swinging, and just punches the first person he can see in the face, which happens to be a girl.
Oh.
So this guy is so drunk that he's just been denied access to a party, thought he was fighting me, punched a girl in the face. I grab him again, pick him up by the waist again. This time I take him off our property onto the sidewalk.
He carries him over to another girl. He's like, I don't like this bitch.
I just set him going like a Pac-Man at her. And I set him down.
I'm going to use you. You're an asset now.
He turns around, takes a few swings.
Deploy the asset.
And so I just pop him like real quick, just a real quick 1-2. Not that hard, just keep him at distance type thing. And he looks a little dazed. And then before he can come and hit me again, somebody else jumped on him and hit him a few times. And I actually felt bad for this dude. I helped him find, I got the guys off him. I helped him find his cell phone. We're sitting on the porch with his broken cell phone as he's like slurring and everything like that. And these two people walk by, and he's like, yeah, he's like, I can't get in. And these two girls walk by, and they just start yelling, you're a fucking racist. You're not letting that black guy in. Fuck you. And I felt like sitting there being like, you know, he just decked a chick, right? Like, yeah. this is your thing. This would be a more extreme version of that, because somebody would turn that cell phone video on halfway through you doing the ankle pick, and it's like, random guy slams female's head into stage.
Right, yeah, that's what you have to look out for. And
comedian destroys heckler. So what is the fallout from that, Ryan? Is anything going on? You know, is he pressing charges?
The part that I don't like when these situations happen is that you walked into a business. If you walked into an Olive Garden and punched your waiter because you were drunk, they're not going to be like, hey, get out of here and don't come back for at least 6 weeks. You know, which is what happens at comedy clubs.
When you come back, it's Olive Garden, that's not too far off from what I would expect.
When you come back, it's a 3-drink minimum.
No extra breadsticks for you next time, so soak up some of that free wine we're giving you. No, so I don't like the fact that when these things happen, they go, hey, get out of here. Like, you hold that person till the cops get there. So there's going to be no repercussions for this person who walked into a business.
And there's not a good enough video of their face. Like, they would have the social repercussions if you could see who it was.
We don't have the lady calling the cops on the barbecue in the park because they're black.
Yeah.
We don't have that. So there's no meme going to that lady. And she was just allowed to leave. And you know what? When that fucking lady woke up, there's only a 50-50 chance she went, oh my God, what have I done?
Right.
I bet there's a 90-10 chance, 10% she felt bad. 90% she's like, I really showed that fucking bitch.
Yeah,
comic.
That's,
what's up?
Yeah, you know, I this might be petty, maybe not. I need for people that walk into an establishment and throw a drink at an employee and then assault them and then to wake up in jail and go, I really need to think about my drinking.
Yeah. Or at least a nice civil suit, you know, a good 5K
something.
Off.
Something.
Yeah.
I need her to at least say to herself or otherwise, I made a mistake. Yeah. But, you know, all these comedy clubs, everyone I've ever been to, these guys are so relieved that the problem is over in the moment that they're like, all right, just get out of here. Don't come back, you know?
The show must go on.
They're thinking about the 9:30 show. You're so fucking right. Like, and Dave, you work a club. Like, what's your mentality on that?
Because I'm friends with a couple of people that own and run clubs, I see their side of it where there's a lot of liability issues. There's been a couple of times where comics have wanted to kick the shit out of somebody.
Right.
And they were like, prevented or, you know, don't do that. Please settle down.
No, I'm not saying kick the shit out of someone who's already
incapacitated. But even do anything. Like, don't, there a lot of times the employees are told, like, don't mess with this guy, whatever. Just let him go because of lawsuits. I mean, it's as much as
but
it
if
sucks.
You, I'm not aware of a single lawsuit where if someone just held someone till cops got there. Bobby?
No, I did it for 7 minutes in PB. It's totally cool. Yeah, ended up great for us. We put feces on his car.
There's a great deal of difference between four employees holding down someone until cops get there and then them roughing someone up outside.
But at the same time, it's all conjecture at this point. It's like, suppose you put her in a head and arm triangle and suppose somehow you got pushed or tripped and she fell and broke her ankle.
Right.
You could very likely get sued and you could very likely
possible.
Lose a lot of money.
It's certainly possible.
And that's what the club owners are thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I you can kind of also see it from their perspective too, where they're like, I'm just trying to have some people tell some fucking jokes. Like, I just want them to go up and tell some jokes and make some money on some drinks, and that's it.
And again, you know what? I made fun of it a minute ago, but, like, if you're doing a 7 o'clock show and a 9:30 show, if that 9:30 show doesn't go off because you're still holding down this woman, you're out. Like, your biggest night of income of the week.
That's right, and then we're going to want to see this. You guys watch this. I fucking got this chick held down.
That's why you always detain him in the green room.
A woman
that's the
had
rule.
A seizure at the madhouse. We're like, all right, Carter, out of here. We got a 9:30 crowd coming. No, but it's true. I mean, comedy clubs break even 5 out of 7 nights a week almost, right? I mean, and so they depend on those 2 nights a week. If there's a problem, like, get it out of here. Yeah. Well, imagine losing a week of pay from your paycheck. You're like, I know your check has 2 weeks worth in it. Imagine losing half or at least a quarter in this scenario. Like, you're going to be like, let's not go jump to that conclusion.
That's why if you're a good comedy club, you should really invest in a really good camera system so you can type your comics and you can provide them videos and stuff. But also, it's much easier to make your case when you have 45 minutes of that person drunkenly yelling stuff before the show.
Right,
and you're like, really? Were you clear-headed when this happened? Like, you're in court with Judge Wapner and you're playing that. You're going to look a lot worse.
That's another thing. It's like, oh, man, the comics are fighting. This is going to go on YouTube and we'll be cleared. Oh, shit, we told them all to put their phones away at the beginning of the show. Oh, we told them to turn them off, too.
Yeah.
Oh, this is... Oh, man, they're turning on right now. Oh, she's already on the ground. Oh, shit. Oh, we're fucked. We gave ourselves enough rope to hang ourselves with.
Yeah, you definitely need your...
We are fucked.
You need the closed circuit system up. That's the only way it works out.
Yeah. So, guys, before we go, I have a new hobby. And it's a little unconventional. I have been going on Facebook, and of course, there's a lot of racist people on Facebook. We've done shows
on
about
Facebook.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, at this point, you just have to assume Facebook is synonymous with people. Like, there's a lot of racist people. Like, right?
There's horrible people.
There's a lot of people who like turtles on Facebook, right?
But Bobby, now I don't know why I'm Jeff Goldblum all of a sudden. No. There's Facebook is a place where they don't get punched for saying their shitty, awful, dog shit, coward thing.
True.
Right.
So, I mean, we've all seen those videos on Facebook with the guy with the Nazi armband in Seattle that gets a fucking arm punch from a tall black guy and goes right out. All right. So they used to have to deal with those repercussions. Now they're just like in Missouri by themselves going, the fucking faggots and I can't stand Mexicans. And then they hit off and watch TV. No repercussions.
Right.
So, they used to make me upset. I used to be like, oh, fuck, man. This guy's in Kansas spewing hate speech. And then recently I had...
Or is it called Kansas talk?
Yes. I had just an epiphany, an aha moment. A moment of clarity, as the drunks say. I realized how fucking hilarious these fucking people are. Ever since I realized these are people that have very serious problems with people they've never met and are never going to meet because they're never going to leave Missouri or their shitty little neighborhood and will die hating. All of a sudden, I'm like, dude, this is actually kind of really funny to me. Ever since then, I have been going on Facebook. Every time I see someone with like a Confederate flag as their profile pic, that guy's getting a friend request. If I see someone like, fucking the goddamn Punjab Arabs coming over, I'm like, that guy's getting a friend request. And no one else can see. That's fine. It's my own private business. And then I just watch them. I don't battle them. I don't ridicule them. I just sit back and watch what they say because it's fucking, it's funny to me.
I mean, I think I could see.
I'm collecting them like Pokemon. Okay, do you understand that? Only I'll never catch them all. I have unlimited resources to these fucking morons.
I see why that could be funny. I feel like if it was me, I would get frustrated though, because at some point I'd want to step in and be like, "Hey, man, actually, no. When you're saying about black people statistically being dumber isn't true, let me show you why." And they'd be like, "You're an N-word lover, aren't you?"
No. You can't go there. Yeah, listen, here's what you do. Here's the move, okay? First of all, when I realized that I wanted to do this, it's because I was watching one spew hate speech about Mexicans, and then I realized he'd never seen one before by the things he was saying. I put things together. He's like,
feels like a bag of wet sand.
Yes. These guys in the middle of the country that spew like hate speech about people they've never seen before are like Steve Carell in the 40-year-old virgin when he was trying to talk pussy.
He's 40-year-old like, racist. Yeah, yeah.
47. And he's like, yeah, fucking always fucking riding around on their donkeys with their sombreros. I'm like, oh, he's never seen one before. This is great.
I'm tired of not being able to walk up to a cactus without a Mexican lazily sleeping against it. Sombrero over your head.
So I'm like, all right. If I just get a little Twitter war with this guy, that's not satisfying. They're just going to do the whole thing where they do the Facebook or internet equivalent of condescendingly shaking their head and not answering any of your questions.
Right.
You can't do that. What I like to do is I start agreeing with them, and I start giving them new information. So this guy, recently, he starts fucking going off about Arabs. He's like, fucking Arabs coming in here, and the government gives them the money to come in here. And I'm like, yeah, brother, let's not forget what they're doing with the hairspray. Now, this guy obviously doesn't know what I'm talking about, okay? But I just had to say, I'm like, let's forget it. And so they will never say, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that information, because that's not a sentence a stupid person has ever said.
This is a really interesting idea. So is he going to try and pretend he knows what you're talking about?
A little bit. Here's his response. And I found, since I did this first one, that they all have this. If you're already agree with them, by the way, if you're going to do this little prank where you find a racist and you want to just goad him into being more stupid, which is what I did here, start with amen. Saying amen to their racist thing is like showing your racist decoder pen. It's like, hey, buddy, you just flash him your little decoder pen. Like, amen. Oh, he's one of us. Okay,
it's the move.
That's fine.
It's the move where the detective is coming up to the crime scene and the uniformed police officer has the caution tape down, and then the detective pulls the badged necklace out and he holds it up for him. Like, yeah, amen, brother. Yeah,
more like, you know, you're a drug dealer and some guy's like, the orange juice is expired this week. do you know when I can get some more? They're like, oh.
You look like my friend Holden. Do you know Holden?
I am a friend of Holden. Yeah, it's a code word. So I go, amen, brother, amen. Let's not forget what those Punjabs are doing with the hairspray. And so he doesn't know what I'm talking about because I'm making all of this up.
Right.
And he goes, tell him, brother. Tell him about the hairspray. So he just agreed. No, he doesn't know.
He's now become your Lil Jon. Like, yeah. He's like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Tell it. Ah, sick. So he goes, tell him, brother. Tell him about the hairspray. I said, I already know. Tell all these uninformed brothers and sisters. I'm like, all these fucking, not only Arabs, but all illegals coming in here, buying up all the hairspray so good-looking white kids can't fucking have any, and they go to their fucking school pictures looking like shit. You heard about this? This guy's response doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me. That is 100%. If you feed him the biggest line of nonsense, as long as you make it about illegals or people not their color, the worst-case scenario, they go, yes, I have heard about that. The best case is, doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me.
I like this game.
Oh, dude, I have been collecting these guys. I love the races on Facebook.
All right, Bobby, be careful. Ryan's going to be our canary in a coal mine on this one because what could happen in the next month or so, he could be at a comedy show watching one of his female friends,
yeah.
Another female attacks her. He goes to try to separate the two, turns into an incident. He accidentally hurts the chick. It blows up. And then people start looking, like the news starts looking into, right. Like, oh, Ryan Shores. Oh, you mean the guy who's been befriending racists recently and going on unintelligible racist rants that don't make sense? That Ryan Shores? And
noted white supremacist Ryan Shores?
And they're like, Dave Callens, you're a friend. What do you think about this other Ryan? He's going to go, doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me one bit. Doesn't surprise me. All right, so stay tuned for more of that. Anyway, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos. Hurt him so that he has to be spoon-fed by his wife the rest of his life. I want him shitting in diapers. Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing by.